Hello, this is Mike Harbath with this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. Revenue Rocket is the premier growth strategy and M&A advisor for IT services companies worldwide, and we're thrilled to be here. I have my partners, Ryan Barnett and Matt Lockhart. Gentlemen, welcome.
Well, good day, Mike. Good to be on with you guys. You know, I was going to jump in. We've got a really interesting topic that I know Ryan will introduce regarding selling in versus selling out. But first, I wanted to, you know, we don't toot our own horn very often. I think it maybe it's the Midwest roots in us, those Norwegian roots. We've kind of been experiencing some pretty incredible growth around here, and we've had three new people start just this week along all lines of the business. Our analyst group, the M&A group, and the strategy group, and so you know it's pretty exciting, and you know it's always fun to be part of a growing business, Mike.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we're pretty excited here. It's, epic year for us, record year already for Revenue Rocket. And certainly we look forward to serving and helping more of our clients as we move forward. Ryan, let's talk about selling in and selling out.
Yeah, it's indeed been a fun year. And Matt, I think congratulations are indeed order. It's been fun to work with everyone here. And part of that has been this podcast and how we've been able to address a lot of the concerns and topics we see in M&A. And one of the things that we've seen this week, a lot of it is around just questions of a concept of which we call either selling in or selling out. Are you leaning in or are you stepping away? And I love, Mike, maybe just start out on just definitions. Just tell me, what do we mean when we say someone is selling in?
Yeah, so, you know, when you're going to sell your IT services business, you know, I'm often advised and that owners think a lot about what they want to do next, right? I think it's one thing to say, okay, you know, we built this asset and it's a great business and, you know, now we want to move on from this business or we want to be part of something bigger, but it's imperative that you have clarity as to what that is. And we've sort of coined the term selling in and selling out. An owner who's selling in is someone who's going to join another firm that's going to acquire their business and play an operating role post-transaction for the foreseeable future with no specific end in sight. One that says, hey, we really, you know, the mindset of you as an owner in that case is someone that wants to be part of something bigger, wants to be able to have access to more capital to scale, wants to, you know, kind of take your business along with a bigger business to another level and maybe contribute in ways to that new business that you can't really contribute to your own because of its size and structure and maturity. Someone who's selling out is an owner that is looking to retire from the business. They may not, you know, be at quote unquote retirement age, but they may decide that they want to move on to either do something else, follow another passion, do whatever they might want to do, or maybe go to work for a different business or start another company. Oftentimes entrepreneurs that start IT services companies go on to start other IT services companies or sometimes product companies in the tech space. You know, we've actually had owners sell out and start, you know, Taekwondo studios very successfully. In fact, I had a client on the East Coast who did that, who runs, you know, he's very passionate about Taekwondo. Now he runs 5 location Taekwondo studios to train people to do that. So, you know, it just depends what it is. But in any case, selling out has to do with sort of selling the business, providing an orderly transition over time to the new buyers, and then moving on.
Yeah, Matt, I'd kind of love to get your opinion on this. When you hear kind of selling in, selling out, I hear management team either sticking with you and kind of going through the slog or selling out. And when I think there's almost a derogatory term to selling out, and I'd like to get your opinion of it. Is it bad to sell out? It's what options does it have, and does it really mean that you're gone day one?
Yeah, no, it really shouldn't be thought of as a negative, Ryan. It's just providing clarity to a potential buyer in terms of the intentions of the seller. Now, let's put it into the context that oftentimes this is most applicable for a founder-led business, and there are so many founder-led businesses that have, thrived and grown and been very successful for a decade or two decades or longer. And so those founders are, really looking at this as a realization of their life's work, and having the opportunity to do something different, to have a new chapter. I think that in the cases where it is the intention of those founders or those owners to sell out, that they've done a very good job of building an organization that will continue forward and sustain without them at the helm. Now, obviously, any founder or owner has a cultural imprint upon the organization and importance, and that needs to be, their transition out needs to be planned for and executed, so that those, benefits and the values that they bring to the organization can be brought forward to an acquiring firm. But it's not a bad thing. Selling out doesn't mean that they're running away from the business, that there's anything to hide, that there's anything bad. It's just, their desire to really have a new chapter moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's a really good description and good definition. There are all sorts of things that are not running a business, and it could be simply getting some chips off the table. It could be retirement. It could be moving on to something completely different. And I just a note on that, I believe all owners should have some kind of exit plan on their mind. It may be a long transition. It may be short, but it's sometime selling the business it can be a very good thing for you and your assets and your family. Mike, I'd like to kind of transition a little bit. If someone, what's the difference for a buyer when they look at someone who's selling in or selling out, when it looks at the deal structure itself? Tell me kind of what a typical deal structure might look like for someone who stays in the firm or for someone who's retiring.
Sure. So, usually if someone's staying in the firm, a portion of the consideration will be attributable to aligning interests with the buyer. Oftentimes that involves an earnout, as an example. Or it might include an equity role where you're going to take some of your equity and trade it essentially for the equity of the buyer. That helps to align interest around either a future exit in the case of equity or you achieving your goals or exceeding those goals and optimizing your deal value through that process via that earnout. We've talked a lot about how earnouts are misunderstood and oftentimes considered to be a negative in a deal. And certainly when you're selling in, that's not the case. If you have confidence in your ability to grow the business and achieve your forecast or exceed your forecast. And certainly there's a business case to be had that if you're not better together in an M&A transaction than you are apart, then you shouldn't do the deal. Earnouts, if you're really truly better together, you should be able to, achieve your forecast and exceed your forecast without as much work as it might take if you were just going solo.
So that is not atypical for us to see in a situation when someone is selling in. There's tends to be more variable consideration that will be paid out pursuant to, you know, the business that's acquired achieving certain goals and opportunities. And the trade-off that that seller gets in that situation is a higher purchase price, in essence, because you're taking more risk. Now, if you're selling out, you're likely to want to take less of that future risk, right? It doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense to do an equity roll if you're not going to be around, particularly if it's equity that you can't really influence or control its value. Sometimes that works if you have confidence in your management team that's running the business and that's going to stay, and you certainly know that you're going to be able to add value in this business. You might, as an investor, you know, decide to move from an owner to purely an investor, and you might want to roll some of that equity, but I think that's something you would have to think about. Generally, earnouts don't work for someone who's selling out because you can't really influence the performance of the business all that materially if you're going to be gone in a fairly short period of time. And so oftentimes those can get exchanged for what we'll call a seller note or a VTB. Some people call it a vendor take back note, where you can certainly be guaranteed that you're going to get that money, that you as a seller become the bank. And so there's ways to sort of structure the deal to fortify your purchase price, if you will, and eliminate risk if you're selling out. And, you know, that's just a couple things that we typically see in transactions like that.
This for Matt, do we typically see a kind of a sliding scale of enterprise value? So if you're looking to sell out, the enterprise value might be less, but the structure of the deal may be more cash heavy and therefore a little lower on the enterprise value. Is that a good assumption?
Oh, yeah. Think of it, it's very logical, right? The more the cash that's related to guarantee, right, then the buyer is sort of taking a bit more or could be perceived as taking a bit more risk, right? And so that's natural that the higher the cash equivalent, the potential lower overall opportunity for enterprise value that there is. It doesn't need to be thought of as, you know, dramatic. We're not talking about, hey, you know, if you're selling out, you're going to be getting half of what you would if you were selling in. That's not the reality. But, you know, thinking about how things could move 10%, down if it's, you know, primarily all cash, that's applicable. Now, good reasons to do it, right? Cleanliness of a transaction, et cetera, et cetera. But as Mike talked about, and the reality is that selling in, and I like to even add selling in and growing with, right? So we see multiple situations. We've had two or three of them this year where we're representing clients who are selling in. And, you know, they're going to be helping to grow the value of an entity, and they're going to, you know, participate in the spoils of that growth.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand, like, that we represent a company that had gone through this path, and it eventually will mean a much bigger enterprise value. It means growing together. It means perhaps piecing more companies together to help them get to their final goal. In some of the companies that we've seen, for example, we've seen deals in which an initial value of the transaction was $15 million. About $4 million of that was in an equity component. After 34 months, that turned into $76 million. So, I mean, that's a 19 times turn on the equity value. But we've seen some pretty amazing case studies on how that can make some really rapid growth and equity for everyone involved, if everyone's leaning in and everyone has the same vision. I'd love to understand that. I mean, that's a kind of an extreme example, but Mike, we were talking earlier today, it's selling in, you really have to be careful of your buyer. And tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I think, you know, you have to qualify your buyer, right? I mean, we do that on behalf of every client we represent on the sell side. You have to know, you know, does your buyer have the funds and access to the funds and expertise to do a deal like this? Do they really line up strategically, culturally, and financially? You know, if you're selling in, you're getting into a business partnership, and you have to know that, you know, I mean, I'm sure everyone on the podcast knows this, but, you know, business partnerships are hard, like all partnerships. And so you have to bet, you know, is this someone that I can work with? And is this someone where 1 + 1 = 3, 4, or 5? And do I feel confident that we can go places together that we can't go apart? And in addition to that, are they capable to fund this transaction the way we're proposed structuring it? Oftentimes buyers will pose as folks that can do that. But once they get you locked up under LOI, that's when they begin their fundraising exercise. And that's a bad place to be if you're a seller. Because you have to wait, you have to hope they can get their financing. You know, it's a pretty hard place to be. And so I think by qualifying your buyer to have the capacity to do the deal as well as the capability to do the deal are really important. But almost more important, or equally important is clearly, you know, do these guys line up strategically and culturally, and can we work together to go to a place where we can't go apart?
Yeah, I think that it's a great opportunity for people to take a look at this if the right company is in hand. Right now, we're working with two very, very exciting buyers they're different from each other. One has done 200 deals in the last year, and they are looking at acquiring in the managed services space. And they've got just a track record of being able to take entrepreneurs and find a way that they can continue investing or successfully find their succession plan. But ultimately, what that means is that the people who join up with them, they're going to be part of something much bigger. And they're going to be part of a $300 million business and $40 million in EBITDA. I mean, that's scale that it's hard to find elsewhere. And eventually, there will be another exit. And with that, they'll be able to take another to kind of, they took the bite of the apple, and now they're going to be able to swallow the whole thing on the backside. We have another client that's doing some very interesting roll-ups in which they've done a lot of consolidation, and they're looking for management teams to stay on to run the companies a little bit more separately, but they ultimately will take them public on an exchange and have a track record of doing this. When you look at how they've done that and what they've been able to put together, they've generated, over $3 billion in equity value. And that's a lot of money to consider as a seller and a lot of opportunity to consider as a seller to go after. So I think there's certainly value in considering selling in or selling out. Both have their merits. And some of them, I think, are beyond just simply equity and cash components, but also being part of something for you, your team, and your clients that you would never have been able to do by yourself.
It's a great point, Ryan. You know, we throw around the term of how do we get 1 + 1 to equal, you know, 4, 5, or 6. But, you know, the reality is that in those right situations where selling in is desired and the cultural, strategic, and financial fits have been put together, there really is an opportunity for, you know, force multiplication, and the more quickly creating greater value for customers, greater value in the marketplace, and greater value for a combined firm.
Agree. That's all the questions I have for today. Matt, anything from you?
No, we gotta go find some more space around this joint for all these great new people that we've got on board, Mike. So maybe we should wrap it up.
There you go, man. Thank you, guys, for another interesting podcast on M&A related topics for IT services companies. Thanks, and make it a great week.